Man. Oh, my gosh. For those of you who don't know, that's my son. So we are alike, apparently. But thank you, Josiah. Oh, man, that kind of threw me off for a second. So I just wanted to start off by saying Gino has done a phenomenal job of putting together all of these pamphlets. So if you want to look further into the study, and as we're going further into Acts this morning, please pick any of these up off the back table. We still have all three parts back there. So if you want to go deeper than what we do, please look into that and look into the chapters yourselves and really see how God begins to move through the book of Acts. But as we are reading, or as Tyler was sharing this morning, you know, one of the things that really sticks out in the fact is that, you know, we can often be rejected by people in our lives that care about us, and that rejection ultimately is a part of life. And, you know, when we get that sense of rejection, and especially when it is those people that we feel are supposed to love us the most or protect us the most, it's the most scarring and it's the most damaging that we can go through in life, right? And sometimes when we get to that place of rejection, that it can be really hard to come back from it, right? Anybody in this room feel that way? That you've been rejected to a place where it was really difficult to find your way back? And when we get to that deep feeling, something that we can always remember is that Jesus himself was denied by the people he loved the most, right? And when I talk about that, you think about the idea that God had his chosen people, the Israelites, right? God saved them out of Egypt. He brought them through the desert. He brought them to the promised land. He was with them throughout everything that was taking place throughout the entire Old Testament. And they are the ones that ultimately came to the place where they said, I'm going to crucify your son, and we're going to reject him. Man, think about the aspect of that. The people that Jesus loved, that were called his people, were the ones that had him crucified. Think about the hurt and the pain that Jesus had to go through as he was standing up there next to Pilate and they just started chanting to crucify him. And the fact that they would even pick a criminal to save his life, to bring him out of prison, rather than choosing the person that was coming to save their lives. The truth is that, you know, as I said, rejection is a part of life. It's something that we all go through at one point in time or another. And this is what Jesus had to say in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. I think as Christians, we can really get to that place where it kind of seems like people in the world hate us. We can watch TV and different things, and the way that they often portray Christians is kind of a little embarrassing. Right? And it can be a little offensive, right? But the truth is that when people or we feel rejected for our faith, it's ultimately not us that's being rejected. But if we think about the idea of, you know, relationships and being rejected in relationships, if we often would treat sharing the gospel the way that we, or the relationships the way we treat the gospel, is none of us in this room would be married, right? Because the first time we get rejected when we try to share the gospel or share Jesus with them, I'm not doing that again, right? But often when we get to that place where we maybe meet that girl or that guy for the first time and we try to talk ourselves up and look good, and we ask them out, and they're just like, no thanks. Man, that hurts, right? But we don't give up, right? Anybody in this room ever been rejected by someone you were trying to date? Anybody? Me? Oh, I know at least more people in this room have felt that way. You guys are just trying to hide it. So I'm going to share one of my stories with you. So let's jump back like 100 years to when I was in sixth grade, all right? That was for the youth, right? So the youth like to say that I'm like 80 years old or something like that. But anyway, in sixth grade, I had gone to the school dance. And my best friend at the time was dating this girl. And he brought me over to her best friend to dance with her at the dance. And, you know, instantly it was love, right? The girl's name was Corinne. Sorry, Tasha. I knew her before I knew you. And throughout the night, you know, they're trying to, like, get me to ask her out. And, I finally work up the courage. But the thing is, I didn't know her at all. I barely even knew her name. This was literally the first time I had met the girl, but I knew I wanted her to be my girlfriend. Turned me down. And that night, I went home and I cried my eyes out. My dad had to come in the room and comfort me because I got rejected by a girl that 24 hours prior to that, I didn't know existed. But the truth is, if I would have lived out my life in a way that I got rejected in sixth grade from dating this girl that I didn't know, and I took that into the rest of my life, I wouldn't be married for 13 years now with two boys and another one on the way, right? But how often when we get to that place where we get rejected for trying to share Jesus or for being a Christian, we shut down. We don't pursue anything further because we don't want that feeling of rejection because it hurts. So as we have been going through the book of Acts, today we're going to jump into Acts chapter 4. But I want to do a quick summary of 3. So going back to the first 2 weeks, we talked about the aspect of how Jesus had prepared the church through proving himself being the real Messiah through the resurrection, and then the praying of the Holy Spirit to help build around them. And last week Tyler had talked about the idea of how the Holy Spirit reunited all of the languages, right? That had fallen apart in the times of Babel, and you know that how the disciples at this point were going out and they were beginning to speak in all of the different languages and everybody in the place could understand them, right? They were out there and they were doing the work of the Father. In chapter 3, it kind of picks up like right after that point that John and Peter were getting ready to walk into this building, and there was this guy that was lame from birth, and he was laying there and he was asking for money. And basically, like, sorry, man, we don't have silver and gold. We don't have it. But what we do have, we can give to you. So instead of giving him the money, they prayed for him and they said, hey, get up and walk. So the lame man gets up and walks into the building with them. And as soon as they walk in there, they're confronted by the religious leaders. So this is where we are going to be picking up in Acts chapter 4. And it says, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So as they just healed this guy, the guy is literally, everybody saw him. Because he was laying in front of the building. He walks into the building with them, and the religious leaders are getting mad because they're sharing the name of Jesus, right? So what I want you guys to hear is that when we go out and we begin to share Jesus' name and begin to talk to people about Jesus, not everyone is going to like what we have to say. Not every single person that we talk to about Jesus is going to want to accept the things that we have to say or want to believe it. There will be people that will disagree with us and who aren't going to be open to hearing the gospel. I know that we want to get out there and we want to share it, and those moments where we begin to share it with somebody and they don't want to hear it, it's like, man, it kind of stings a little bit. It makes us feel a little discouraged. Did I say something wrong? Did I not do it right? Did the Holy Spirit not go with me? We begin to question and begin to ask, you know, what did I do wrong? What didn't happen here? But the truth is that God gave us the ability to choose, and there will be some people in life that choose not to follow it no matter what they hear. And sometimes when we begin to talk to people about Jesus, they can be the loudest ones, the ones that reject, right? Sometimes they can come back at us aggressively. Sometimes they can try to tear us down. Sometimes they can just do a thing that will make us not want to go out there and continue to share the gospel. And when they are the loudest and they begin to speak the loudest, they can really begin to affect not just yourself, but those around you maybe that are trying to share Jesus as well. But we have to remember, like I said at the beginning, that it is not us that's being rejected. It is Jesus and the gift of eternal life that is being rejected. When Jesus said that the world is, if they hate you, they hated me first. This is what it's talking about, is that there will be people in this world that are rejecting Jesus. So when people say no thank you, or they try to come back at you for what you believe, it's not you that they're personally rejecting, it's what you believe, and they're rejecting Jesus. Jesus goes into Luke chapter 10, verse 16, and says this: "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." This is a hard truth that we need to come to the reality of, is that when we share the gospel, when we want to see people's lives change, we should be doing that out of love and a desire to see people's lives change, to see them saved, to know that they have an eternal life. But the truth is, there's some people that don't want it. But I want you to hear this as we jump back into chapter 4, because this is where it starts to get a little bit encouraging, right? Because the first part, in knowing that there's people in this world that don't want to know Jesus, that's not very encouraging for us, right? But in verse 4, it says this: "But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So yes, there was a group of people that were rejecting the idea of Jesus and rejecting them speaking. But here it says that, yeah, there was that small group. But the number that accepted him and came to know who Jesus was 5,000 men. So why is it the fact that we're scared to share the gospel when there's just a few that are turning it down, when then that there's many in this world that are looking for hope? Yes, there are those who will reject, but there are a great number looking for an answer in this world. I think we can look throughout this world and realize there's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of things that are happening. There's a lot of confusion that's going on in this world, and people don't know what to do, and they're looking for an answer, and Christians have been silent to a place where we need to be out there and sharing it. People want to know the name of Jesus. There's people in this country that have never heard his name before. This is a harsh reality, guys, but one thing that we can recognize is the message of the gospel can change people and the world. If we continue to keep the gospel message inside, it's not going to make a difference. But when we get out there, we begin to share. Even if you get rejected at one point, just remember, that was just one person's choice. But another person could choose something different and choose life. We can't be discouraged in the idea because one person says no, because there might be 10 people waiting to say yes. If we believe and know for a fact that Jesus saved our lives and made a difference in us, why would we not want to share that? When we begin to talk to people about lives, we can literally begin to see the way that their expression, the way that they look, the way that they live their life changes. Imagine what would happen if a lot of people's lives started changing. How would that affect this country? How would that affect this world? There would be a vast difference in this world if there were more people that knew Jesus. Guys, I want this to be encouraging, and knowing the fact that even if you're rejected at one point, you still have the ability to make a difference in this world because you share the gospel message down inside of you. You have it inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit in you just waiting to burst out to share, to change somebody's life. I think we can all say we love superheroes, right? Well, most of us. I'm a big nerd. It might just be me in the room. But anyway, the favorite part of the movie is when they save somebody, right? We love the idea at the very end of the movie, although we love the battles, we love everything that's happening. When it gets down to it, we love it when the hero wins. And the truth is that we know the story of Jesus Christ, and we can go out there and share the gospel with somebody. Yes, Jesus is their hero, but he used us to help save them, right? You have that gift, you have that ability inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is just waiting to be used. That's your superpower, right? Jump back into Acts chapter 4, starting in 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man standing before you well." Crazy, right? Let me ask you this. How many times when somebody tries to rebuttal against you when you share the gospel, you kind of back up and you slink away rather than responding the way that Peter did at this time? I love the boldness in just Peter at this. It's like, hey, if you're talking about the good deed of this man that's standing right here, let it be known that it was Jesus and in the name of Jesus that he's here. There will always be people that disagree with us and they are going to try to confront us. But that's okay. That's okay when people try to confront us because we know the truth and the truth has changed us. It has set us free. So let us continue to go out there and talk to people about Jesus. Even when we're confronted, it's okay. Peter gets even a little bit more bold after saying this. He goes on to say in verse 11, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Peter goes on to say, hey, this Jesus that I'm talking about, you remember him? Yeah, you rejected him and you crucified him. But the truth is, you're only going to receive salvation through this name of Jesus. Can you imagine the religious leaders as Peter is talking to them about this? They're thinking at this point when they confront him and say, hey, who is this by, that he's just going to kind of sink back or maybe even say, hey, we healed him. He goes right into, it was Jesus. Hey, you remember that guy that you rejected that died for all of us to be saved? Can you imagine just how they reacted and all the other people? I can just see the other people, ooh, right? Maybe John was responding that way. But Jesus even responded to himself as being the cornerstone and the foundation of what we believe. In Matthew 21, verse 42, it says, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus is responding to the fact that he is the cornerstone, the foundation of everything that we believe, and it is important. And there, if there were people that rejected it back then, there are still going to be people that reject it today, and they were standing in the face of Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw the marvelous acts and the crazy things that he did while he was here, and they still rejected him. Today, we just share the stories, and we share what Jesus has done, you know, in our lives and all of those things, and they haven't really seen that yet. If people were rejecting it back then, there's going to be people that still reject it today. But if we believe Jesus is the only way to salvation and the most important of what we believe, we should not be holding it in. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus has saved your life? Do you believe that he's lifted every sin off of your life, taking the weight of everything that you've had to bear, every wrong thing that you've done? Do you believe that? If you believe that, that should make a difference in the way that you see Jesus. That should make a difference in the way that you talk about Jesus. There should be a passion when you begin to talk about Jesus. Man, I can think about every wrong thing that I've done in my life. If I put it up here, you guys would not want me on the stage. I promise you that. But I can recognize that Jesus saved my life, so I don't want to hold it back and not share what he's done for me. If we truly believe that, if you believe that for your life, why would you not want that for somebody else? Why would you not want to see someone else's life radically changed? But the truth is that when we speak in boldness, when people confront us, we speak in this boldness, we have to remember to do it in a specific way, because sometimes when we get confronted and we get into an idea of maybe there's a disagreement and now they're bringing up, hey, what about this and what about this? We get heated, right? Anybody ever get heated about a topic that you didn't agree with? Anybody? Nobody's going to lift their hands in the room right now. There's a couple, all right. I've gotten mad, and I can guarantee I have not responded in the way that I should have. But let me ask you this. When you begin to respond in that way, do you think that that person is closer to Jesus now or further away from Jesus? There's a difference in speaking boldness in anger and speaking boldness in love, right? I love how it puts this in Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." If we begin to respond in that way, then people are going to be taken back. Because they're used to the idea when they bring up an argument or try to confront a Christian that they're going to fire back at them. They're trying to egg it out. But the Bible is saying, hey, don't get into quarrels. It doesn't matter, right? But respond patiently, right? If we can control ourselves in those moments and we begin to speak and share the gospel out of a place of love and maybe try to say, hey, I see your viewpoint, and let them talk. and then begin to respond after that, allowing there to be a relationship that is built between you two, whether you agree or disagree on different things in life. I think it's gotten to a place in this world where you disagree, and all of a sudden disagreement means that you hate each other. Not the truth. We can disagree and still love one another. We can disagree and still allow somebody to share their thoughts and their what's going on in their head, because sometimes when we allow them to talk through things, we get a better understanding of who they are, and now we have a better way of being able to talk to them because now we understand them and where they come from. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. Know that they breed quarrels. Instead of getting angry at them, I would say, let's take some time to, you know, pray for them. Maybe you get a little too heated in the conversation. Back up, pray for it. Ask the Holy Spirit to kind of go speak with you next time and go back in and try again, right? Nobody says that you have only one opportunity to share it with somebody. Verse 13 in Acts. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Right? I want you guys to hear this. People are always going to have their opinions about you. The way you speak, the way that you handle yourself, the way that you look. People are always going to have opinions about you. And the truth is, there are a lot of people that live in this world right now that if you believe in any sort of religion, they see you as an uneducated person. They're like, how can you believe that? You must not be educated, right? But just in the idea that of what Tyler had talked about last week, is that God doesn't always use like the smartest people or use all of those different things. He uses simple people, right? Allowing God to speak through us, and whether we are highly educated or not, their opinions shouldn't necessarily matter when it comes to that point in our lives when we're sharing. When we allow the Holy Spirit to use us, they can't help but recognize something. I love in this story how it says their first perception of who John and Peter were uneducated, common people. But then it gets to the place where they say, oh, we recognize that they'd been with Jesus. When we live out our lives in imitation of who Jesus is and we pursue him and want to live out those lives, people are going to recognize that there's something different about us. People are going to recognize the Jesus in us in the way that we begin to respond to them, the way that we talk to them, the way that we listen, the way that we care about them, right? Let the Holy Spirit guide you in those conversations. It's not always about having the correct response immediately, but sometimes it's just allowing yourself to calm down, kind of reflecting, thinking about the words that you say, and allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, right? And when we get out there and we begin to share the gospel and we allow the Holy Spirit to use us in those moments, one thing that we always have to recognize is that from that point on, it is for them to choose or to reject. Going into the idea of knowing the gospel and sharing it with them, we always need to go in and recognize that it's their choice at the end when we finish talking with them. Verse 14, it says, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them had nothing to say in opposition, but when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Isn't that crazy to think that they are in the midst of rejecting Jesus and saying, hey, you guys can't be out there sharing Jesus, but then they're talking with one another and saying, hey, we can't deny the goodness that has happened. See, when we as Christians go out there and we begin to act in the Holy Spirit and act in Jesus, we can know that people are going to know that there's something different about it. They're going to know and not be able to deny that something good has happened. But again, it takes action. It takes getting out there. It takes allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. Right? When people see the evidence or the fruit of God's work, they cannot deny it. You know, sometimes in life, there may be people that see the way that God is moving and they might try to attribute it to something else, right? It's like sometimes if you go to a hospital and something miraculous happens, all right, oh, it's just a miracle. They don't want to necessarily attribute it to something greater. They just kind of try to say, oh, we don't know what happened, right? It's just suddenly gone. I'm just using that as an example, but there are things in life where people will see something that's miraculous, see something incredible, and are just like, I don't know what happened. Or they, oh, well, maybe this is what happened. And they try to get it off. And no, it's prayer. We've seen the way that prayer works. We know what God can do. We know that God can heal all things. And we know that God can cure the uncurable. We know that God can move in ways that people can't describe. And when people begin to see that, they recognize that something is happening. They cannot deny the change that they see in people before Christ and after Christ. It's crazy to see the way that people's lives can be changed before they know Jesus and after they know Jesus, right? Sometimes it can be so drastically different. It's like, are you even the same person? And technically, you could say, no, I'm not, right? But let me ask you this. Can anybody deny what Jesus has done in you? Can anybody deny the idea as you begin to share, hey, Jesus took my life from this point to this point? There is no other way to describe what has happened other than the fact of the way that Jesus worked in me. I encourage you guys, it's not your idea of a fun time to get up here and share your testimony in front of the camera, in front of the church, and all of those different things, but maybe one-on-one is what you'd like to do. Maybe that's your jam, right? People cannot deny when you share your story and say, hey, this is where I was and this is where I am now. The only thing that I can attribute that to is Jesus. See, when there's a good work and Jesus is behind it, people cannot deny that something has happened. Verse 17. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Like, this just blows my mind, right? The guys are literally at this place. They see what's happened. They say, we can't deny that something great has happened here. They're saying it's in the name of Jesus. But even though something good has happened, we can't allow it to go any further. I don't get it, right? I don't get how in the way that they could truly witness something great like this and know that it's Jesus, know that it's good, and still say, we don't want this to go any further. Okay? People will still deny and reject Christ even through seeing his work. I think there's a lot of time in life we could say, hey, if I could see Jesus, if I could see just one of those miracles, I would believe. This is proof right here that even if you see it, it doesn't mean that you're going to believe it. There are people in life that will continue to reject Jesus no matter what. And we as Christians cannot be allowed those people to define what we do and define if we have courage or not in Jesus. Because when we get to that place and we allow that rejection to get into our lives and never share the Jesus, somebody is missing out. Somebody is missing out on the message that could save their lives. Some people have a hardness of heart and will reject Christ even if there is evidence, right? No matter how much we share, no matter how much the Holy Spirit speaks through us, there are still going to be people that say, no, thank you. That's why I titled this message, that rejection is a part of life. Jesus called it. He said, hey, they're going to hate me. They hate me now, they're going to hate me in the future. They're going to reject you, but when they reject you, they're rejecting me, and ultimately they're rejecting my Father, right? It doesn't matter what people see. It doesn't matter what people hear. But ultimately, what I said at the beginning, there are few of them, but there's more people that are looking for hope. Don't allow that one thing to be the thing that defines your Christian walk and your purpose in life that Christ has given you. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard, but we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And then, and when they had further threatened them and let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Do you guys catch that right there? Do you guys hear what that said? Because of what they were sharing, because of the good thing that happened, there were the few that were denying it. But there were more in the room that were praising Jesus because of what happened. We cannot be defined by the people in the room that are confronting us because we don't know the change that's happening in the people that are around there, that are listening, that are seeing it. Even in that room, as those religious leaders were confronting them and trying to say, hey, stop it. People's lives in the room were being changed. This is incredible. They weren't even a part of the conversation. They were just listening and watching what happened. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and Jesus begins to move, there's going to be a change within the atmosphere. And I think we here at Crossroads have been experiencing that. We cannot back down from sharing the gospel. We can't back down because people are depending on us to share the story of Jesus Christ with them. How can we hold in the things that we know about Jesus? How can we hold that in? People are looking for a touch from God, a hope, a chance, forgiveness, healing. People are looking for life. And there's so many people that are looking in the wrong places, trying to find the right answers, and nothing is filling that God-shaped hole that Tyler was talking about. There are people that are looking for something to fulfill them, to heal them from rejection in life, to heal them from the pains that they went through, to heal them from being abandoned, to help heal them from whatever they've gone through. People are looking for that, and we have the answer. As the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, has the power to bring people out of the circumstances that they're in. And we know this, so how can we continue to hold it in? God, this is what the church is supposed to be about. Help people come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and allow their lives to be changed the same way that ours was. Jesus did not back down when they came against him, and now we are forever changed. Can you imagine in the garden if when those soldiers came up, Jesus like, nope, I'm out. It's like he's in this garden. I'm sure there were some bushes or something that he could just kind of like, you know those memes where you just kind of see people just like disappear into the bushes. Like imagine if Jesus did that instead of saying, hey, I'm Jesus, come arrest me, right? Jesus didn't back down for you. He went to the cross for each and every single one of us. And now for that, we are forever changed, never to return to the people that we were before. There are other people that need that chance too. This is my closing point. We're going to go into Acts verse 29. And it says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I want this place shaking, do you? I want this place shaking for Jesus as the Holy Spirit begins to move in all of our lives, because we talked about the idea a couple weeks ago that when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He's waiting to be used. He's waiting to be a part of our lives. So let us as a church begin to seek out the Holy Spirit so that this place can be shaken and people's lives can be changed so we can go in boldness. We need to continue and seek out the Holy Spirit for our lives. Because if we continue to build towers brick by brick, right? We're not going to be able to stand by ourselves. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and knocks those bricks over and takes the place, and we began to build it in the name of Jesus rather than ourselves, and allow ourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in this world, it's going to make a difference. I believe it and I know it. The Holy Spirit will give us courage and a boldness to share the gospel. We as a church need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. I want to close out with this scripture here in Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus sharing in how we should pray and how we should be looking for things within our lives, right? Verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? If you are wanting to have the boldness of the Holy Spirit within you, it's going to take asking. It's going to take seeking. It's going to take knocking. Don't give up after the first time, right? I love the progression in this. It's just ask. Then seek, which is a little bit more in depth. Going after it, hunting for it, looking for it, right? And then it's like knock, say, hey, I need this. I want this. Do you want this this morning? Do you want this this morning? Do you want the Holy Spirit to give you the boldness to share the gospel? Then we as a church need to be praying for it, right? It's not just one person, it's all of us together. I love how it says every time that the Holy Spirit began to shake and move things, it wasn't just one person praying, they were gathered together praying. Let's do that. So this morning, what I want us to do, I want to welcome the band up here to I want to invite us to come together, to come forward and begin to pray and seek the boldness of the Holy Spirit for our lives. So as the band begins to play, I want you to come forward and let's begin to seek together. Right? Maybe as you come forward, you want to seek and pray by yourself, but I want to encourage anybody else that's in the room, let's pray for each other. Because it's not just about my prayers, it's not just about the pastoral prayers of our people for you guys, but we can pray for each other and begin to receive this boldness together. Some things I want you to take away, and then the band is going to play, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you want to see a change in this world, we know how to do it and must recognize these things. There are always going to be people who reject the gospel. For the few that reject, there are many who are searching and wanting a life change. If we truly believe that Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection has the power to save lives, why should we keep it in? People may reject it, but they also cannot deny when they see God's work being done. You have the power to share your story, and people cannot deny that. Let's get out and share your story. Allow a door to be open. Don't be afraid to be transparent. Don't be afraid to share everything that's happened in your life because it just makes it more real of what Jesus brought you through. God has sent us into this world to bring the gospel. We cannot back down. And we need to continue to seek the Holy Spirit for our lives. But right now, if you want to come up here and let us pray for you to receive this boldness in the Holy Spirit and acknowledging that you need Him for your life, I invite you to come up now. Let us pray for you. I'm going to begin to pray and then the band is going to play. Jesus, I thank you for this world. Lord, I thank you that you have come to this world to make a difference. Jesus, I pray that we would not allow our lives to be defined by the rejection that has happened at some point in time in our lives, but Lord, that we would be more driven to see a difference in this world, to see the Holy Spirit begin to move and begin to shake in this church, to begin to shake in our nation, to begin to shake in this world, to see many lives come to you, to see those that are hurting, to see those that are searching come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and know that their lives are forever changed. God, I pray that we would be a church that is bold for you, that we would not be able to hold in what we know is true about you.
God, I pray that we would seek you out. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be within this room. Lord, I pray that as you dwell within us, Holy Spirit, that we allow you to come out. Lord, that we do not hold back inside of the way that you want to use us. But Lord, that you have called us here for a purpose. You've called us here for this time. Lord, I pray that we as a church would be bold moving forward. Lord, that we would begin to go out into this world, and as we begin to share the gospel with our friends, with our family, with strangers, whoever it would be, Lord, that we would begin to see your Spirit move in the lives of others, and that their lives would be changed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for never leaving us, for never forsaking us, but always being within us. Jesus, we thank you for your death and your resurrection. Let us go out there and share our story and share your story in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come and listen. Come to the water's edge, all you know. To the water's edge, all you who are thirsty, come. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Let me tell you what.